We're going to talk tonight mainly about Svira, which we're in right now. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about some things that happened over the Pesach vacation. Okay, so before I do that, every day I learn a Mishnah in the morning. I wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. So it's an inyan, to learn a Mishnah. Now, I've been talking about, I don't have to hold a mic, so I can walk around a little bit. So I've been talking about the internet for a long time and the dangers of the internet and so many people, so many young people, so many married people, so many older people are wasting their whole life cruising on the internet, going to the wrong places and looking at the wrong things. And everybody has different terutzim and why they need it and why they have to have it. But we all know that if you have it, sooner or later you're going to go somewhere on it that you're not supposed to. I hear my phone beeping. I don't know. I'm so wired up. Ah, here it is. I just turn off my phone. Anyway, so here I am learning a Mishnah. I'm thinking like, they didn't know about the internet in those days. It's a long time ago when they wrote Mishnah. Listen to this Mishnah. It's Mishnah Tes Zayin Perek Gimel Masechtas Avos. We learn Perek Avos now in the weeks between from all the way from Pesach until Sukkot. So I happen to be up to Perek to Mishnah Tes Zayin. It says the following: Hu Ayoyim Rabbi Akiva. Also, big time sphere, Rabbi Akiva, his Talmidim. Hu Ayayim, Rabbi Akiva said, Hakol Nosen Be'eravon. Life is given on consignment. It's not given on consignment. Hashem gives you life. He sort of lends it to you, that you should use it for the right reasons. Umetsuda Prusa Akol Achaim. Interesting words that the Mishnah used. And there's a net that is spread upon all of life. So, like, when I'm learning this, it's like, net. Uh-huh, okay. Internet, net, let's see what the Mishnah is going to say. Hachanas pesucha, the store is open. Hachen v'ni makiv, the storekeeper is walking around. Hapinchos pesuach, the ledger book is open. Hayat koseves, everything is written in the ledger book. V'chol ha-roitz el-luvois, whoever wants to borrow or buy on credit. Yavoi v'yilva, you could buy on credit, you could borrow time from Hashem. You could say, I'm going to be a good girl, I need some more life, I need more time. You could borrow time. But the collectors of what you're borrowing are always around. Sometimes they collect with your knowledge, and sometimes they collect without your knowledge. All the pain that you go through is payment for things that you took from this world that you didn't use correctly. So even putting your hand in your pocket to get a quarter, you get a dime, that's a punishment. Because now you're going to go back into your pocket. So that's if you realize. If you don't realize it, then it doesn't take away Averis. But if you put in your hand to get a dime and you get a quarter, and you say, that should be Mechaper, now I got to go back into my pocket, that should be Mechaper and Avera. It's Mechaper and Avera, even the smallest thing. You drop something, you drop your keys, you got to bend down and pick them up. But don't worry, you have what to depend on. That in the end, when Hashem makes the calculation of what you took and what you gave back, He's going to do it honestly. And for the tzaddikim and tzidkaniyais, everything's prepared for the big su'udah, for the big meal, the su'udah shaliv yasan, when Mashiach comes, b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. You could say in the middle of learning, amen also. Okay. So, when I learned the Mishnah, so it says, hachen v'ni makif. So the storekeeper is walking around. I understood that storekeeper, that means Hashem. No. That's not what's explained over here. So, actually, it's really a machloek, because the Rav says that it is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But listen to when I looked into the Mefarish in the Yochanan Boyaz, he says the following. So there's this net that's spread upon the whole world. And the storekeeper is walking around. Says the Yochanan Boyaz, Hayetzahara, who's this storekeeper? It's the Yetzahara. Hu Hataiva, that is the lust, Sheba Adam, that is in a person. Hu hachen v'ni hamakif. That is the storekeeper who keeps going around, right, as you move the little mouse around, and click, and click, and click. Umekarev, whoever doesn't know what I'm talking about, you should be gemenched. Umekarev ha'anoshim al-scharatsai. And he brings you to places where he sells his wares. This is written a long time ago. So this is what the Mishnah is talking about. That there is such a thing that the Yetzer Hara takes you to a place sort of like a store, right, where you can buy things, where you can travel, where you can move. And he takes you to places, and he brings you to the places that he sells. The gam, that even if you don't see the thing that's causing you to do the Aveira, in other words, you're on the internet and you're shopping in the Gap, or you're doing your homework, and all the filth and dirt and chat rooms and schmat rooms and all these other Meshuggah places, right? One girl said to me, Rav Wallstein, I heard your speech, and I promise, I'm on the internet, and all I do is look at the news. You know, I don't listen to radio anymore, I don't read newspapers, and I want to be holy, and I only go on the internet at night to watch the news and CNN and whatever it is, and once I know the news, I go to sleep. And I said, and how long do you spend looking at the news? She said, 2 hours. Wow, she said, 2 hours? What are you talking about? Yeah, well, you know, you click on, and then there's a whole article, and then you click on, and then there's a sub-article and another article, and I'm like, hello, 2 hours to look at the news? Listen to 1010, they give you 22 minutes, and you know the whole news. You don't need 2 hours to click on it. But once you're in there, you don't understand. A person, so that's what he's saying over here. So he says that even if, this is what the Yochanan Baez is saying. So that, you're going to tell me that on my internet, I don't go to those places. So what's wrong with it? Says the Yochanan Baez on this Mishnah. What's going to happen? Yitzro yaftehu leilech l'sham. What is he talking about? Your Yetzirah will get you to go there. It's mamash the internet. And he says, that's what it says in Chazal, in the Medrash Tanchuma, Einei v'liba, your art and your heart, sesirei d'aveira, will lead you to do sin. This is mamash, a Mishnah written in Pirkei Avos that is talking about our internet. And it's called a net. It's called a Mitzuda Prusa Al Kalachayim. And he's telling you that there's going to be such a place where there's not going to be anything wrong in that place. You're going to go into the place and there's not going to be anything wrong in the place. The Yetzirah is going to take you. That's the Lashon that he used. Yitzra Yaftiyu Leilech L'Sham. Yetzirah will get you once you're in that store to go to the wrong places. I just learned this Mishnah yesterday morning. I was like, this is amazing. Everything, you know, everything is in the Torah. I was in a business meeting today, and this guy got up, and he was speaking about this person who taught him business, and he was so excited, and he said, let me tell you about this person who taught me business, how brilliant he was. He said, this man said, there's nothing new in the world. So how do you learn business if there's nothing new in the world? He says that every person that you come in contact with, you got to take a little bit of their knowledge. And if you take a little bit of everybody's knowledge, then you can build an empire that everyone says, wow, this guy has such good foresight, but he doesn't really have good foresight. What he did is that he took it from every little person and he put together old stuff, but he put a lot of old stuff together from many different places. So all that old stuff put together is something new. And he was like, wow, what do you think of that? And I just blew his whole balloon. I just busted his whole balloon. Felt a little bad, but I just busted it open. And I said, wow, that man who taught you this must have been brilliant. But if you were to learn Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech, the first comment that he made, that there's nothing new, Shlomo HaMelech said, Ein davar chadash tachas HaShemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. So I don't know who this brilliant guy was, but if you say Shir HaShirim every Friday, you would know that. Kehelis. Two, thank you. Two, there's a mission in Pirkei Avos. Ezehu chacham. Who is a wise man? Who's a wise businessman? Who's a wise? Halaymei mikol adam. Who learns from every person in the world something else? Hello? I said, it's in the Mishnah. It's in Kehelas. It's no big professor in college that came up with this brilliant idea. Everything is in the Torah. So the internet's a little bit shtickle in the Mishnah too. That there can be places that you go that are not bad. But if you go there, he has the koyach, especially, it's just a click of a mouse. It's not like you got to get out of your house. In my days, it was no such thing as a computer. You wanted to do something wrong, you had to get out of your house, and you had to sneak around and take a bus and a train to somewhere nobody will see, and this and that with this and paper bags, and on your head paper bags and all over, and then you turned around 100 times, and then you said, you know what, I'm going to get caught, I'm not doing this, and you ended up going back home. Today, your mama, you're one click away, you're 1 second, he's so brilliant. He's unbelievable because this is it. Mashiach is here, girls. It's over. It's all over. I know it sounds scary, but it's you're living in the Zman of Mashiach. There's nothing to talk about. I told the boys last night, I have to get the Mayim HaKavod. It says, the Gemara says, when Mashiach comes, there's going to be inflation. The Gemara says, food is going to be at the highest price it ever was. The Gemara says, oil is going to be at the highest price it ever was. The Medrash in the Medrash Rabbah says that Yishmael will be the last one, and he will control the money of the world, and he will control the world. It's all there. It's all there. So in a way, the economy doing what it's doing, and the shortage of food in the world, that's what it said. I remember learning this as a kid. I remember learning this Gemara, and I said, what are you talking about? How could there be a shortage of food in the world? We got all these new machines and farming, and then what kind of, right? There's a shortage. There are countries that are having violent protests because there's a shortage, and then and all of a sudden, Matzah Pesach, the news is telling you can't buy rice. America, it's not China. I mean, sushi's good, but come on, there's not that much sushi being sold, right? You can't get rice. Costco with Schmosco and this one and that one, you only get one bag of rice. In America, the United States of America, this is not Russia. So what's going on over here? Right? So, it's not important. No, the Sfardim didn't buy all the rice for Pesach. It's not what happened. So there's a shortage. They're using rice now for energy. I'm not going to give you a whole class on it. They're using grains for energy. So they're using it for energy because oil is too much. So now there's no food. So eggs are $1.99 a pound. And they were 69 cents a pound. And I don't have to tell you, you know, whoever shops here, any lady that shops, that milk is out of control. Margarine you couldn't find for Pesach. You could put $100 on the table for a little tube and they still wouldn't get it for you. You couldn't find margarine. Eggs are crazy. Milk is crazy. Bread is crazy. And the most terrible thing, pizza. $4 a slice?
What
does that mean? They're saying that pizza is going to be $4 a slice because of cheese, because of this. And I'm thinking to myself, in yeshiva, 10 years ago on Friday, I bought pizza for my class. So I was fighting with the guy. He was taking $1 a slice. It was $8 a pie. I was fighting with the guy to give it to me for $6 because I was buying it every. You're telling me $4? You're telling me $32 for a pie of pizza? You might as well go out already and have a steak, right? So exactly what the Gemara is saying is happening. Exactly what it's saying is happening, Eretz Yisrael, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, that Yerushalayim is going to be split. And everything the Torah wrote, everything is coming to fruition. So it could be a little bit scary, but it's not scary, because when Mashiach comes, the world will know that Hashem is Hashem. It has nothing to do with us. Mashiach has nothing to do with anyone in this room. It's not about us. You know, everybody wants Mashiach. They have an aunt or an uncle or someone that's not feeling well. Mashiach's going to come. They're going to get better. They're not doing good in business. Mashiach's going to come. It's going to get better. That's not why we want Mashiach. That has nothing to do with we want Mashiach because God is in such terrible agony and pain that the whole world denies that He exists, that our children are going off to Derech, that His children are going off to Derech. Hashem is in pain. When Mashiach comes, everybody will see Him. He will no longer be in pain, and that's why we're supposed to want Mashiach. Yesterday, there was, I don't do the 2-hour thing. I do like 4 minutes, and not on the internet, whatever. 4 minutes, I listen to the news. So they had this whole thing, these tornadoes, I don't know, in Atlanta, in Georgia, something, I don't know where it was. Virginia. So they had these tornadoes in Virginia, right? 39 tornadoes, whatever it was. So I'm listening on the radio, and this lady's reporting from Virginia, and she says, "It is awesome." I'm like, "Oh, okay, Gvura." Right? "It is awesome. If you ever witnessed a tornado, the power of," and I'm like, "God, right? That's what she's going to say. The power of Hashem in her language, right?" And we're going to say, "Finally, Hashem has to put 39 tornadoes at 160 miles an hour and people have to watch cars flying up in the air to understand that if God even twists a little bit, He could twist this world into nothing, right?" And she's like, "The awesome power of nature." And I'm like, "Oh man, you missed the whole thing. 39 tornadoes. And the world is walking around. Wow, did you see that? The awesome power of nature. There sits Hashem. Nature. The biggest insult in the world. Nature. You walk down the street, spring, it's nature. Everything is nature. I went to the Central Park Zoo, which I'll talk a little bit about tonight. The Central Park Zoo with my grandchildren, and I was listening to the Goyim talk when they were going around, and it's interesting because like very smart people go to the zoos. I'm serious. Like if you listen to the discussions in front of the animals, right? The animals probably don't think they're very smart, but you listen to the discussions and they're dissecting, you know, do you understand the habitat that this animal lives in? And I was like, whoa, you know, these people like, they do like their zoology, a whole course before they walk in, and I'm sitting there, my grandson, right? He's trying to throw things at the animal, you know? And they have this whole drush, and I'm looking, I'm like, don't get so crazy over an animal. I was thinking to myself, did you ever talk about a human being that way? Humans, you know, but they're like into drushes and the whole animal, whatever. It's amazing. And every word I'm listening to, nature, look at nature, look at nature. Nothing about Hashem. Nothing about Hashem. Here he is. He puts out a zoo with, there were birds over there with colors. I never saw such colors. I never saw such birds. And Hashem's saying, here, look. And I'm going to explain it to you today. This is me, right? And all these human beings, right, go to these places. Wow. Look at nature. God, he's gone. So when Mashiach comes, everyone's going to say, look at Hashem. And that's what we should be waiting for. And that is the greatest glory for the Jewish, for your children, when the whole world's denying who your father is, and it's finally revealed who your father is, that's the greatest moment. It's not about you getting better or finding a shidduch when Mashiach comes, and everyone's going to have a shidduch, and everyone's going to be able to... That's not what it's about. That's totally wrong. That's not what Mashiach is all about. So on the same point, they were a little nervous about it. Nothing to get nervous about. Because when Hashem becomes revealed, that's it. That's the top of everything. So what are you scared about? You scared you won't be there? You do the right thing. You'll be there, Mitzvah Hashem. It's all his children. Who's he going to leave? Who's he not going to invite to the wedding? Right? You have to do your best, but everyone's going to be there. Last night I spoke about it, and like some people, whoa, I was nervous, man. Rabbi, you can't talk about that. It makes me very nervous. I'm like, don't get nervous. Get straight, you know, do the right thing. Mashiach is coming. I'm not, you know, one of these guys, you know, I'm just telling you all the simonim. By the Holocaust, they got up and said Mashiach was coming. That was, and by the atomic weapons, it says in the Navi that their skin is going to melt and their eyes are going to melt into the sockets, and that's atomic war. And when that happened the first time, everybody walked around and said, oh, Mashiach, radiation, Mashiach, and it didn't happen. So it brings down that there are zmanim, there are times that Mashiach is supposed to come and we don't deserve it. But guess what? There's not much time left. There's not much time left, right? There's 200 and whatever, 32 years left. That's it. So there's not that much time left. So we're very much in the Zman of Mashiach. So, and this Zman of Pesach until Shavuos is a very, very important Zman for every single person, a time for everyone in this room to get to a level where you'll be ready. Shavuos night, Malchus Sheba Malchus. Malchus Sheba Malchus is Mashiach. That's the highest level. Malchus Sheba Malchus, the king of the king. The 49th and 50th level, that's when Mashiach comes. And that's what we need to do now from Pesach, step by step, until we get to Shavuos. So I want to explain to you a little bit about the difference between Pesach and Shavuos, but I got it. That was my story in the zoo. My actual story in the zoo that I wanted to tell you today is that my grandson got lost for 2 minutes. Now, we didn't know because everyone thought I had him, then I thought my daughter had him, and she thought her husband had him, and all of a sudden everyone turned around and said, nobody has him. So when we realized nobody has him, we all got very nervous, but it's a zoo, it's a Central Park zoo, it's a little bit enclosed, and it was mamish a minute, the whole thing was a minute, and he was crying like hysterically, because he might have been lost for 5 minutes, until we realized he was lost, was 1 minute. So he was crying hysterically, my daughter picked him up, and she held him, and he quieted down, and I saw the terror in his eyes. And anyone who was ever lost, even for a minute, I was once, and nobody even looked for me, but they still aren't looking for me, but okay. But if you're ever lost, I was lost as a kid for mamish a short time, and I remember it's like the most terror, it's terror. Your parents aren't there, you're done, you're finished, it's terror. It's absolute panic terror. So when I saw him like that, I said, we need to teach every Jewish person, not a little child, because he doesn't understand, that you should never have that feeling. That if you look around and there's no one around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. Never go into that panic terror, because there will be times that a person feels very alone and turns around and the people that they need are not there. And you have to know, but we have a father that's always there. He's a third partner in all of us. And he doesn't give up that partnership for anything. So you never need to be that kid in the zoo. Yeah, we're kids in the zoo, that's for sure. We're in a zoo. Nothing to talk about. But you never have to feel that there's nobody there. That terror that my grandchild had, no Jewish adult should ever have. Because we always have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will not let anyone get lost. That's for sure. How he treats you and what you're going through, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He runs the world. But he'll never leave you lost. So that was my story in Central Park Zoo. Now, also, I like to learn things. So we went to Six Flags. That's not why I went to Six Flags. But my uncle made a whole thing in Six Flags, New England, right? So first of all, I learned something about Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem. It's telling you that Jewish people are watched very, very carefully, especially in a public place. You can't cut lines. You can't throw stuff on the floor because they're just looking for us to do something wrong, because the truth is we're the children of God. And if we throw things on the floor, then we're not the children of God. So you have to be very careful, especially with your children and when you're out, whatever it is, when you're in a public place, you represent the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Chil Hashem is a very terrible thing. You have to be very, very careful. But at the end of the night, so we daven mincha, and I was standing under the Six Flags. Wow, it was like so cool. There were six flags, and Rabbi Wallerstein standing under the six flags. And the guy that were next to me says to the other guy, "Wow, it is so windy." And I'm like, "I don't think so," because I'm standing there, right? My yarmulke's not flying in the air. I don't feel any wind, right? So as a Boy Scout, you know, I did the old thing. I wetted my finger, and I put it up to see where's the wind coming from. So you don't know that because you're not Girl Scouts, but that's the way to figure it out. Because sometimes you can feel the wind on your finger's a little wet, and I didn't feel any wind. So I'm looking at these two guys, and I'm like, it was a beautiful day today. Why are you saying it's windy? And they point up at the six flags. And these flags, right, they're very high. They are whipping back and forth. They're whipping all six of them. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm down here, right? I don't feel any wind, but the truth is, it's very windy. Now, most of you, I don't like to talk chol in the middle of my shir, but being that I was a big baseball fan, so in baseball, if you ever, chas v'shalom, have gone or will go to a baseball game, so straight in center field in Shea Stadium or Yankee Stadium, there's a huge American flag. Now, when you're sitting at the game, there's no wind. It's hot and stifling. But if you look at central, straight out, right, center field, many times you see the flag is swirling. Now in baseball, depending on how the flag swirls, that's how you play your outfielders. Because when a guy hits the ball, if the wind is the flag is going that way, the ball is going to go that way. So they'll actually move their outfielders, their players, according to the way the flag is blowing. Yeah, what did you learn tonight? Red Wallstein taught us baseball. Okay, anyway. So they'll position them according to that. But you're sitting, and you don't feel anything. But the flag... it's flying in the wind. Now, what could you learn from this? I'll tell you what I learned from this. People ask me all the time, right? How do you know there's a Hashem? You can't see him. You can't feel him. You can't taste him. How do you know there's a Hashem in the world? Right? You can't see him. So I thought to myself, this is a beautiful answer. Because you could be standing in a park and there is no wind. Because there's no item standing in front of you. If there's a leaf in front of you, it would blow across if there's a wind. So to see the wind, to see wind, there has to be an object. Because the wind moves the object. The wind moves the object, you know there's an object. So as long as I'm standing on the ground and I don't look at the flags, I'll tell you there is no wind. The minute I look at the flag, I'll tell you there's a wind in center field. It's blowing to the right, it's blowing to the left. Why? Because the flag reflects the wind. So you want to know how there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through his world, through his flags. He's got flags all over the world. And you need to look at his flags. And by looking at his flags, that's how you know there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, when you go to a zoo, or you go outside to a tree, or you see a flower, you go shopping for Shabbos, and you look at a rose, if you have nothing to look at, and you lived in a world where there was nothing, it would be very hard to find Hashem. Of course, if you would learn Torah, and through the Torah, you could find Hashem. But just as a human being, we're very hard to find Hashem. So what did Hashem do? He put millions of flags in the world. Millions. Flowers, fruits, colors, the sun, the sky, the zoo, the aquarium, the millions of animals and fish and things that you could see in the world. And through them, they're the flags. You could say, wow, someone had to create this. The flags are blowing. If there aren't, so you have to look at the flag. So the person who keeps his head down, doesn't look at anything, that was me. I didn't look up. I said, what are you talking about? I don't see no Hashem. I don't feel no Hashem. What are you talking about? Look at the flag. You look at the flag, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there's a mission in Pirkei Avos that sort of says the opposite. There's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says that if a person is learning, he's walking with his friend, and they're learning, and they stop learning, and they say, Ma no ha'ilan hazeh. What a beautiful tree. What a beautiful apple tree. Look at those blossoms. Right? Oma no near hazir. What a beautiful unplowed field. I mean, plowed field. It's all plowed. There's nothing growing, but it's all brown, red dirt. It's beautiful. With all the furrows. It's like really looks nice. Says the Mishnah, Hare mischayev benafsho. Yechayev misa. Yechayev death. For saying, what a beautiful tree Hashem made. What a fantastic unplowed field Hashem made. What are you talking about? Isn't that what I just told you? Isn't that why Hashem created all these things? So you should walk down the street, right? I don't know Avenue J if there are any trees, but let's say a side street, right? And say, wow, 4 weeks ago, there wasn't a leaf in the whole Flatbush. Now, look what's going on over here, right? And the Mishnah says, Hari Mishchai Ben Avshai, how could that be? And the Teretz is, you have to look at the Mishnah very carefully. So first of all, the question is, why did they pick those two things? Why don't they say two people walking in the street, and they looked up at the sun, and they said, wow, look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the sky. Why did the Mishnah pick that they walk by an unplowed field? Like, hello? How many of you exactly would walk by an unplowed field and say to your friend, wow, that's God. Check out that field. It's a bunch of dirt. So why would the Mishnah pick an unplowed field? And why a tree? So the answer is amazing. The answer is, because what they're discussing, these two guys, right? They were in the middle of learning, so they're into it. What are they discussing? The deepness of an unplowed field. An unplowed field is pure potential. I mean, a plowed field is pure potential, because the field is plowed, the dirt is red, it's all ready. So whatever you put into that field is going to come out. You put in tomato seeds, comes out tomatoes. You put in cucumbers. So the potential of that field is to grow anything. Wow. Mischayev v'nafshay. You deserve to die. A tree of all the things that grows gives the most. It gives you shade. It gives you fruit. It gives you wood to build. It gives you wood to burn. A fruit tree gives the most thing. It gives four things. No other item gives four things. It gives four things. So, they're looking at this tree and they're looking, look at the potential of a tree. You could sit under it for shade. We know the whole story. Right, with Yonah, with the tree, how thankful he was that Hashem made a tree grow. Tree's a big thing, potential of a tree. You could, I could make paper out of it. I could build a house. I could build a fire. I could get fruit. I could use it for shade. I could climb it. There's like so many potential. I don't know if you ever read that book, The Tree. It's an amazing book. You should buy it for your children. It's an amazing book on a child's relationship with a tree and how much the tree gave it. You don't have to buy it, but Barnes & Noble uses my bag. So if you want to buy it in Barnes & Noble. But the tree is a giver. So here are these guys, and they're walking. They're like, wow, look at this tree. It has fruit. And then, Mischayev benafshay, you deserve to die. So what does this mean? Because anybody, it's a beautiful teretz, anybody who's learning Torah, which is the greatest potential of anything in the world. Torah is unending. A field? What you put in, you're going to put out, but you can only put so much into a field. A tree can only give so much. Torah is infinite. Says the Mishnah, if you're learning Torah and you stop learning Torah to complement on the potential of a field, then why did Hashem give you a nefesh? Why did He give you a neshama? The reason He gave you a neshama is because the neshama's potential is through Torah and mitzvahs. You're stopping, you're becoming a behemoth. You're saying, I'm stopping my potential of learning. I'm stopping my potential. Oh, look, we could grow a lot of corn. Oh, look, I could build a house. What are you doing? You're mischayev benafshay. So if you're not learning, if you're going on a shopping tree, if you're taking your grandson out to a zoo, then you should talk show him and say, look how many animals, look at Hashem created. It's an amazing animul. A guy came up to me after the shiur last night. I don't know exactly. I didn't understand what he was saying, but he was telling me he's very big into fish. He said, Rabbi Wallenstein, If you knew anything about fish, you mamish see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I have a shrimp. He has a big fish tank, 120 gallon, 180 gallon, whatever. He has a shrimp, right? And the shrimp is sort of blind. It has teeny little eyes. This is what he's telling me. He's giving me a share after the share. It has teeny little eyes. There is a fish that swims with the shrimp, and the shrimp continually touches the fish. And this fish guides, that's what it does. It guides the shrimp through the tank, wherever it goes, so that it shouldn't go into the coral and get stuck, or whatever it is. And that's what that fish was created for. That the shrimp should bounce off him all the time, and he's like his sonar guy because he's blind. So Hashem created a seeing eye fish for a blind shrimp. So you're laughing, but that's so unbelievably amazing. That's so unbelievably amazing. So the shrimp doesn't have the eye, so Hashem created a fish. So there's your flag. So if you're learning and you close your chumash, let's check out the fish, you're mischayav benafshay. But if you're in the New York Aquarium and you say, wow, check out this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, that's what you're supposed to do. That's when you're supposed to look at the flags. When you're learning Torah, you're not supposed to look at the flags because that's the biggest flag there is. What are you looking at the flags for? The wind's in your face. And that's what the Mishnah, so that's what I got from the going, what?
Why does Hashem have to create the shrimp?
Because that's Hashem's right. Olam Yabana, right? The whole world is. But I mean, anything you learn about animals and everything, they clean each other, they help each other. It's the whole, right. Interdependent. See, that one I can spell. Not like last time. All right, last story. So, New York Aquarium. What do you learn from the New York Aquarium? So yesterday, a boy came to my office. He's not going back to yeshiva. He's in 11th grade. There's 4 weeks left, 6 weeks left, 8 weeks left to yeshiva. He's going to public school. He's had it done. He's finished. He's not going to yeshiva. He's a good boy, but he doesn't need it anymore. And his father this and his rebbe, he's going to public school. Have a nice day. Everyone can jump in the lake. But his father said he has to come talk to Rebbe Wallerstein before he makes this jump. He says, so I'm here, you know, with that attitude. You know, okay, what? Like, you know, what? I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to tell this kid? Right? I'm thinking to myself, Hashem, you got to help me out here. Like, you know, I'm going to give him the regular speech and Torah, what are you doing? This is not going to work with this kid. I said, I got to tell you what happened in the aquarium. He's like, that's what you're going to talk about? I said, yeah, I got to tell you something. I said, I'm looking at all these fish and they're swimming around and the human beings are out there, you know, and we're outside and we're looking inside to these tanks. They're looking at us, we're looking at them, right? Each one of us trying to figure out the other one. I said, let me tell you what you're doing by going to public school. I'm going to use the word idol worshippers, for those who remember, because I don't want to use the other word because I'm all around the world, so I don't want anyone to get upset. So we're going to use the word idol worshippers. God created Jews and idol worshippers. The idol worshippers in the world, right, that are not Jewish, they are the fish. And they live in the sea. And they do very well. Sounds like a little poem, right? They do very well because they ingest the water and everything that they live in, and they do extremely well, and they have no problem living in the water like all the fish in the aquarium. The Jew is the human being. We cannot go into the water. If we go into the water, even if you say, I am a fish, I want to be a fish, look like a fish, it's not going to help you. If you go into the water, you're going to drown because you don't have gills, right? And you don't have what it takes to live in the water. So, what does a human being do if you want to go into the water? You get your scuba tank, right? You put your scuba tank on your back and you put the thing in your mouth and you go into the water, right? And they, all the fish, look at you and say, Nebuch. Nebuch, look at this human being. We can swim around. And we don't need no big 40-pound tank on the back with that silly little mask on his face. He looks like who knows what, right? And we can swim and swim up, down. This guy, right? He's got an hour of air. That's it. He's finished. And they look at that scuba diver as a nebuch. Meanwhile, silly fish, you're stuck in the water. This guy is going to come out of the water in an hour, right? And he's going to go about building a world. You're not building a world. You're going to get caught sooner or later in a net, right? And you're going to be in a can of tuna, of mahadrin, or whatever. Right, of geffen tuna. That's where you're going to be, smart fish, who's making fun of me with my tank on the back. They're not putting me in a can. Right? They're putting you in a can, Charlie, not me. Right? So, who's the smart one? Who's the silly one? I said, that is this world. He's looking at me. He's like, what is this man talking about? Right? So I said, I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. I'm saying, you want to go to public school. You want to go into the water. You want to go to where the fish are. The problem is, you're not a fish. You're a Jew. Hashem created you. You came from Jewish mother. You're a Jew. If he wanted you to be a fish, he would have given you a non-Jewish mother. But he doesn't want you to be a fish. He wants you to be from Klai Yisrael. So you to live in this world where all the fish live. We live with the fish, right? We're the Nabokals. The world looks at us, oh man, she has to wear a long skirt and she has to cover her hair. Look at that guy. He wears a white shirt and he's going to wear that thing on his head. And this holiday is so hard and this holiday is so this. So the fish are looking at us and saying, look, he's got a tank on his back. Mitzvah tank. I'm doing an advertisement. I think I lost my, what'd I lose? Never mess with the fish. See what happens? Can't make fun of them. See, we can get wired up. They can't. Anyway, so here we are living in the water, and everyone's making fun of us. Look how funny they look. Look how different they look. Meanwhile, we have a neshama. We're breathing through our mitzvahs and through our Torah. That's the tank. And one day, Bezrat Hashem, when Mashiach comes, they're going to realize that they're the fish and that we're the human beings. So I said to this kid, I'm telling you something. You were born not a fish. You don't have a choice. You don't have gills. They can eat chazer. Now let me tell you, I don't understand. Because it was very funny in the Central Park Zoo, so they have this big, fat chazer. And my little grandson, right, all of a sudden he's screaming across the whole zoo, oh pig, it's not kosher. My Rebbe said, not kosher. And I'm like, shh, whatever, you know, everything else is also not kosher. Like, you know, he's screaming at the top of his lungs. And I looked at this animal, I'm like, how can any human being ingest this? I mean, it is the, should be monthly. Not allowed to say anything bad about Hashem's creations, but hello. Like, you know, it's not exactly one of his number one creations. I mean, it is, but whatever, not for us, that's for sure. So I'm thinking to myself, how do they eat this? And all the other things that they eat, lobsters and shrimps and clams and ugh, it's not because we're Jewish. Even if you weren't Jewish, lobsters, they look like big roaches and they break off their arms and they, ooh, it's like they, and you go to the store, the supermarket, and they have them in a fish tank and they pick this one out and that one out and they break off their arms and like, hello, right? And it's not our world. That's the world of the fish. That's, in their world, it's not damaging to them. But if you were to eat chas v'shalom, a piece of chas this big, if you were to eat a piece of chazer this big, your tank just got disconnected. You know, the air holes just got ripped out of the thing in the back, and you can't breathe because you have a neshama. You're not a fish. You don't have gills. You can't eat cheeseburgers. That you can't ingest that. That's not for you. And all the other things that your eyes are not allowed to see. All these other things. So I said to this boy, I said, you have a tank that's giving you air, that's giving you neshama life. And that's yeshiva, and that's learning, and that's doing mitzvahs. You know what you're doing? You're going to public school, you're ripping off that tank. I'm telling you right now, you can't live in their world. Your neshama's going to die. Your neshama's going to die. You can't live in that world. You can't live in a public school world where you're going to eat treif and do all these averas. It's not going to work. I said, if you don't believe me, try it. Go into the ocean and say, I'm a fish, and I want to live in the ocean with the rest of the fish. You're going to die. You're saying, I want to go to public school. I want to live with the rest of them in public school. You're going to die. And he said, okay, the bus is in 45 minutes. I'll be on it, Rabbi Wallerstein. And he's in yeshiva today. And I thanked Hashem that I saw the fish. Because that's a wacky story, but it's so true. It's so very true. That's what this world is all about. We are the humans, and they are the fish, and they live in the water. And they don't need the tank. They have gills. We don't. We are a different. We're on a different level. We're chai. We're on the aretz. And therefore, we have to realize that. And therefore, we have to keep recharging our tank. We have to keep doing mitzvahs, and we have to keep davening. Just like an air tank. You got to take care of your air tank. But I'll tell you something else. You learn in scuba diving. Don't ask me how I know this. I'm not going to get into it. But you learn in scuba diving something called buddying. What is buddying? Chas v'shalom, you're scuba diving with someone, and they thought the tank was full, and the tank was empty. A misreading, a bad reading. And all of a sudden, the person next to you, 200 feet under the water, has no air. And they're flailing around. What do? So you have to learn how to buddy. You give them, they take a breath or two breaths, and he gives you back, and you both go back to the surface. And I said, you know what? It's the same thing. If you see another Jew that jumped into public school, that jumped into the water, and you have your tank, you got to give him a little. You got to talk to them. You got to give him a little air. You got to say, hey, I'll call you tonight. We're going to spend 5 minutes learning Shmiras HaLashon. You know what? I'll pick you up. I'll take you to a shir. You got a buddy. You can't just let that other Jew flail around because they don't have air in their tank and say, hey, listen, what can I do? You don't have air in your tank. You got to give them a little bit of yours. A little bit of yours till you get them to the surface where they can breathe on their own. A lot of metaphors, right? That's the right word. A lot of metaphors tonight. Okay, we're getting there. All right. Let's end off talking about Sfira. So I want to tell you like this. Pesach night, everybody in this room got 49 combinations of the most amazing presents that a person can have. Free! You didn't work for it, you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it. You were the Kala, Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Chasson. Kala doesn't have to earn it. Just by being the Kala, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us 49 combinations of presents. What are those 49 combinations? So there are seven, and they're combined by seven. We know in Sfira, right? Chesed is the first week. Chesed, which is kindness. Everyone here understands God is kind, and everyone here understands what kindness is. Kindness being nice to somebody else. Then there's something called Gevura. Gevura is strength. Strength! Gevura! How do you use Gevura for good? I'll give you an example. I'm not trying to talk about myself, but I just want to give you an example that happened yesterday in Shul. I was down in Landau Shul, and I don't know if I was in Kriyat Shema, I was somewhere there, and there's a guy that aggravates me. And he collects money, and what he does is, instead of saying what he's collecting for, he has a paper. And the paper says what he's collecting for. And he just takes that paper, right in the middle of davening, and he puts it right in front of your face. Like this. I'm all davening. He sticks the paper in front of my face. And if you try to ignore that he's collecting money, he just leaves it there. And he will stand with that paper in your face until you give him something. And I'm like, no. No, you can't do that. I'm all davening. You want to ask me, yes, no. You can't just stick a paper in front of my face. I can't see my sitter. It's in between me and my sitter. I was very agitated. And I'm like, I'll wait you out. We'll sit here all day. I am not giving you anything. Okay? So, I'm a kind. You know, you get angry once in a while. Fine. Davening's over. He's gone. Right? He stood there 10 seconds. It feels like a lot longer, but maybe it was 10 seconds. He's gone. Finished. I finished davening. I go, this minion's downstairs. I'm on my way up the steps. Guess who's standing on the top step collecting money? There he is. Standing there collecting money. I'm like, no way. And as I walk by him at the door of the shul, I'm saying to myself, this is the one you need to give. The other ones you want to give. This one you don't want to give. You got to have gvura. You got to go against yourself, and you got to give him, and you got to give him with a smile, and you got to say, I'm sorry I didn't give you downstairs. Come on, Wallerstein, get inside yourself. Come on, you can do this. And I'm like, are you crazy? I'm talking to myself, right? And I'm like, gvura shebechesed. It's a combination called Gevura Shebechesed, having strength in doing Chesed. And I did it. And not because I'm a tzaddik. I did it because that was the guy I had to give, because that's the guy I didn't want to give, because he annoys me. And I walked over to him, and I gave him the dollar, and he looked up at me, and I said, I was the guy downstairs. Oh, thank you. And I walked out. That's Gevura Shebechesed. It's not enough to have Chesed, because Chesed, there's a bird, right? There's a bird that does Chesed to its friends. It's treif. It's a treif for bird. Why is it a treif for bird, Rashi says? Because if you only do chesed to your friends, not to other people, you're a rasha. So you have to have gvura in chesed. So there's a thing called gvura. That's the second thing. The third thing is tiferes, glory. Glory is something outside, glorified. Glory, you walk by a beautiful palace. Wow, check out the splendor and the glory. So tiferes is glory. Netzach is eternity. What's eternity? How do you do chesed? We know how you do a glorious chesed. You give $5-9 million to Ornava and you build this glorious building. That's glorious chesed. But how do you do eternal chesed? What's eternal chesed? So, eternal chesed, last night I spoke to the crowd a little bit. I let them give some information. I said, guys, tell me, what's eternal chesed? So one guy said, when you help someone do a mitzvah. So for the rest of forever, he's going to get from it. If you bury a mace, a dead person, they can't pay you back. And they were coming up with all these mitzvahs. I said, I got an easy one for you. Eternal chesed is a smile. Mitzvahs, all this, very nice. Eternal chesed is a smile. Because you can meet a person, and they're about to do the most terrible act. They're about to take their life. And they made a plan and they wrote a note, and that night they're going to take their life, and you met them, and that day you were nice to them, and you gave them 10 minutes of your time, and you bought them something, whatever it is for, and you thought, ugh, I did a little bit. You'll never know what you did for that person. What a smile can do for a person, and they say a smile is contagious, there's no question. Everyone's thinking, eternal chesed, ooh, I gotta get into that. A smile. smile. There's a story, a famous story that the Rosh Hashanah always said in Panovich, right? This is like such an important story because this happens to all of us. I'm not going to hold you. I know we started very late tonight. So there was this rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, and he gets a letter, an invitation to a wedding, a rabbi in Switzerland, the head rabbi of Switzerland, I think it was. His daughter's getting married. This guy gets an invitation, and with the invitation are two business class tickets to Switzerland, right? With an invitation to the wedding and reservations in a hotel for 4 days to come to this wedding. This man in Eretz Yisrael who gets this invitation with the tickets, looks at the person who invites, looks at the name. I don't know this person. I never heard of this person. They sent it to the wrong person. He must have thought of Rabbi Schwartz, a different Rabbi Schwartz. I never heard of this person. He told his wife, we got an invitation with tickets, with hotels, with mice. I don't know anything about this. He says, you better return it. You better send it back. Send it back to the, you know, there's a card to send back. Send back, sorry, put it in a package, send it back. You send it to the wrong person. We don't know you. No, he does that. Sends it back with a letter. I'm sorry, I don't know you, but I appreciate it, but I'm not coming to you. I don't know who you are. Gets a phone call. Rosh Hashanah says this. Gets a phone call from Switzerland. Hello, this is Rabbi so-and-so, the head rabbi of Lugano, whatever it was, and you do know me. He goes, Rabbi, I don't know you. He says, you know me from a very long time ago. He says, what are you talking about? He says, now I'm the head rabbi of Switzerland. Let me tell you how I know you. He says, we were together 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I don't know how many years ago, in Panovich, Yeshiva, in Bnei Brak. He says, my father sent me from Switzerland. I spoke Schweiz. I didn't speak Hebrew at all. I was a stranger. It was in the early days in Eretz Yisrael, not like now where, you know, everyone talks, everyone knows everyone. He says, I came to Panovich. Nobody talked to me. The guys in my room, I had nothing to do with. I felt very uncomfortable. I was there for 3 months. I wrote my father a letter. Tati, I'm coming home. This is not for me. I'm going to go into your business. This is not for me. He said, and I told my father that I'm coming home in 2 weeks. He said, 2 days before I left, I was already packed. 2 days before I left, you came over to me in the hall. You were an older bacher, an older boy. You came over to me and you said, you look very depressed. You look very down. You know, what's going on? What's wrong? And I said to you that I'm not comfortable. I come from Switzerland. I don't. And you said, no problem. Listen, you're not happy with the guys in your room? Move into my room. I'm an older bacher. I'll take care of you. Move into my room. He said, and kachoya, I moved into your room. The guy from Switzerland was telling this guy in Israel. I moved into your room, and that's mine. I sent back a letter to my father. I found someone I could talk to. I'm going to give it a shot. I was in Panovich for 10 years. 10 years! Because one guy in the hallway stopped and said, why do you look so sad? He said, I'm a rav today in Switzerland only because of you. Now, who would ever think, if this guy would have never sent him the invitation, that he made this man a rav, that 2 days later this guy was gone, going into business, forget about it. 10 years sitting on a bench learning Torah goes to the credit of one guy who smiled at another person and gave him a little bit interest in how are you doing. Chesed doesn't have to be big mises. Just a smile, just a question, just caring. You can't do it all the time. You're not at the best all the time. You're not on your tippy toes all the time. But when you can, that's netzach, that's eternity. Hoyd is inner beauty. Hoyd is not glorious. Hoyd is a person's inner beauty. We're not going to get into that tonight. I'm going to explain each one much more. Yeshoyd is foundation. And Malchus is the kingdom. And every single night, there's a different combination. One night's netzach shebechesed, one night's chesed. Now, gvur shebechesed and chesed shebegvura, right? Same words. Gvur shebechesed and chesed shebegvura, two totally different things. Gvur shebechesed is this morning that I went against myself and I gave this man the money. So I had to overcome myself, that took strength. That's gvur shebechesed. What's chesed shebegvura? Chesed shebegvura is when you have to do something, someone deserves criticism, someone deserves to get it, but you give it to him nicely. Totally different meaning. So there's a place for gvura, this kid has to be criticized and put in line, but you do it with chesed. All these different combinations, girls. All these different combinations, 49 different steps, which takes you from Pesach to Shavuos, were given to us Pesach night. So now why do we have to do every day a different one? Because it was given to us, but it wasn't absorbed. And this is the end of the shir. The Gemara says there was a woman who came, and she had a child, and they needed a bris, and they gave it a bris, and the child bled to death. And then the woman brought a second child, and the child bled to death. And the Gemara says that a hemophiliac, if you lost three children to a bris, you're not allowed to, they're not mechayiv in bris anymore. You're not allowed to give them a bris anymore. The third child, right, she said, before I do it, I'm going to go to the rabbi, because I lost two children already. She came to the rabbi, and she showed him the child. And he looked at the child, and he said, the child is very red, from head to toe. It's very, very red. And he said, it looks to me like the child's blood, the way your children are born, the child's blood is not, has not been absorbed into the organs of the child. So you, this child, you cannot do a bris on the eighth day. You got to wait a couple of months till each organ absorbs the blood. And once each organ has the blood in it, then when you cut the child anywhere, only the blood from that cut's going to go. That, but here, all the blood is like under the skin. If you're going to cut it anywhere in the skin, the child's going to bleed out. And that's what happened to the other two children. So he said, you're not having a bris on the eighth day. Wait. Wait 3 months, wait a couple of months. She did, they did the bris, the kid was fine. That's what the Gemara says. Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zchusa Yoga Aleinu. Amazing, amazing what we lost, but amazing person. So he says like this. He says, that's Svira. He says, you get the blood, Pesach night. You get all 49, Chesed, Shebe Chesed, Gevur, Shebe Chesed, Mach, Shebe Chesed. You get all of that, like this child. But it takes 49 days to absorb all that blood into your neshama. And therefore, you got to spend the 49 days every single day working. Look at the day, and it says after the day what it is. Working on those midas, machu shebe chesed, chet shema, whatever it is, to work on that midah. And then when you get to Shavuos, which is connected, doesn't say when Shavuos is. It says Shavuos is 7 weeks after Pesach. They're connected to each other. It doesn't have its own date. It's connected to Pesach. Because Pesach, you get the blood. By Shavuos, it has to be absorbed into every single organ. And when you get to Shavuos and it's absorbed, then you're able to say, Na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh, it has become, it is done. It is Na'aseh. I am one now. The blood in me is absorbed. I was trying to explain to the boys, like a cow and milk. Why are you allowed to drink milk from a cow? Meat and milk, you're not allowed to have together. And the answer is because the milk is not absorbed into the cow. It's two different entities. So you could be a Jew and davening, right, and learning and doing mitzvahs, and you totally didn't absorb it. I don't have time. We're very late because it's really my whole shiur tonight. You could be a good Jew going through all the stuff, and you don't absorb. You could say Tehillim, the whole Tehillim. You didn't absorb one word. And I'm not saying internalize. Internalize is nothing. Internalize means you take a pill and you swallow it. So now you internalize the pill. But if the pill doesn't melt and go through your system into your body, then it's just going to come back out again. You have to absorb a pot. You cook milk in it, it's called blia. It gets absorbed into the walls of the pot. You have to absorb these 49 mitzvahs. It has to become part of you. When you come out of davening, you got to be dancing. When you come out of Tehillim, you got to be screaming. It's got to become part of a person. I don't know anything about movies, Chas v'Shalom, but there was once upon a time a movie called Rocky about this boxer. In my days, in the 1970s, when I was growing up, guys came out of that movie, right? Normal people who went into the movie, quiet, nice, relaxed people, right? You had this Italian stallion with all this stuff going on, right? Beat on this guy, he was on the floor. Everybody came out. I remember when it first came out, the guys who went to these movies, they would come out, like, yeah, come on. Who's going to mess with me? Come on. Come on. Come on. Say something wrong. I'm going to knock you down. Come on. Hello. Shalom Aleichem. It was a movie guy. The minute the lights went on, he's gone. What are you doing? They absorbed what they saw. So Nebuchadnezzar, someone who goes to a silly movie, a tearjerker movie, and the girl sits there and she's crying. Oh, look what happened to her. And she walks out of the movie and you see their eyes are all swollen. And I can't believe it. And hello, Khani? You got to see this movie. It makes you cry. And the next one calls the next one. Oh, it makes you cry. Why are you crying? It didn't happen. She didn't really die. She's an actress. She walked off the stage and went into the next movie. Silly girl. Why are you crying? Oh my goodness, I read this book. I've seen people reading books and crying. It's not true. What are you reading? Holocaust book and you're crying. I understand. But what are you reading? A novel? It's not true. And the answer is, you absorbed what you read. For you to cry You are absorbing what you're reading. You are absorbing what you see. To get a reaction from your brain, to make your eyes well up with tears, means you absorbed what you saw. Girls, how many of us, when we say Tehillim, cry and call, honey, you gotta read this parak in Tehillim. It's so sad what David HaMelech was going through. Shaul was running after him, and he was stuck, and he was good, and this is so sad. Who, what, where? Who walks out of a Tehillim that's about happiness, about Ivdus Hashem B'Simcha, and walks out and says, wow, let's make everyone in the world happy? Who? Who walks out of Pesach? Wow! Or, Baruch Hashem, that's over. Now I can go back on my no-carb diet. Oh, fantastic. Told the boys, oh, no more Hallel. Davening's 20 minutes shorter. So you think you absorbed Pesach? You absorbed Hallel? If you can't wait till Yom Tov is over so you don't have to say Hallel? You said Hallel. The blood is outside. It's not in your organs. It's not in your neshama. These 49 days, the job of getting to Malchus Sheva Malchus is to absorb your midos, is to absorb your learning, is to walk out, you know, after learning a good piece of Chafetz Chaim and say, come on, Yetzer Hara, what you got? I just learned two prakim Chafetz Chaim. I'm ready for you. Come on, anybody call me and ask me for Lashon Hara. Try to get me to talk Lashon Hara. Nobody. Who walks out like that? So you didn't absorb it. You read two chapters. Yeah, you could say, you can't say, you will say, you could say. Okay, bye. Have a nice day. Says Reb Shimshon Pinkus, you got 49 days to absorb the present that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you Pesach night. If you don't absorb it after Shavuos, it's going to be gone. Just like that baby. It's going to bleed out. There's not going to be anything left in your neshama. So you have 49 midos, 49 combinations to connect, to absorb. And the schus of everyone doing that, the schus of growing every single day, it's a step every day. And you know what? If you don't do all 49 steps and you do 10 steps, you have them. That's why we count up in Sfira. We don't count down. When you count down, you have nothing. What do you have at the end of counting down? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Zero. So at the end of it, you have zero. We don't count down. We count up, Sphira. You would think you'd count down, 49, 48, 47. No, we count up. Because if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 12, 19, 41, you have all those days. You didn't lose those days. You have those days. So you didn't do 49 midos this year. You absorbed two. You absorbed one. Okay? It's a step. You're going up the steps, and there's 90 steps, right? Shabbos, you got to go up 90 steps. So if you're going to count down, 90, 89, 87, you know what's going to happen when you get to 45? You're going to say, 70, 46, oh my goodness, 45, I have another 45 steps to go. I can't do this. But if you count the other way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 44, 45, I did 45 already. That's cool. Okay, let's go, Vita, let's go on. But if you count down, you're looking at what you're missing. If you count up, you're looking at what you did. Sphera, we count up. We look at what we did. So even if you miss a couple of days, not talking about counting sphera, of ingesting, of absorbing, not ingesting, of absorbing what you did, you got something. You got something. You get, imagine $20,000 a day for 49 days. And you only did 2 days. You still have $40,000. You have double the money. But if you're counted down and you're waiting to get the $1 million at the end of the 49 days, and you walked out in the 48th day, you get nothing. So that's Sphira. It's a very important lesson. Pick out something. Pick out Tiferes. Pick out Netzach. Pick out Hod. Pick out a smile. Pick out whatever you want to pick out. But absorb it. It has to become part of you. If it's Chesed, you have to become what they say in Yiddish, a shtick Chesed. It has to be, you are Chesed. Not, I am a person who does Chesed. I am Chesed. I am Netzach. I am Malchus. I am a princess. Not I'm getting dressed up like a princess. That's their story. That's Cinderella. Yeah, that's their story. You should hear what Shimshon Pinkus says on that story. He takes apart all their stories. That's their stories. We don't turn into pumpkins. We don't change at 12 o'clock. That's the Goyim. You are born a princess and you are always a princess. Never changes. It's Netzach. It's forever. It's Malchus. That's who we are. Absorb it, Bezrat Hashem. We'll all have the schus to see Malchus Sheba Malchus, the coming of Mashiach, v'mehreh v'yameinu amen.